Well, yeah, I mean, I guess there's a couple of angles to look at it from, really. One is, what's happening, particularly with the airlines and their responsibilities to members of the public and their customers, and also what kind of protection you get from travel insurance generally.
Yeah. And how does the airlines, I mean, we're getting reports that we're weeks away from them cancelling or running out of fuel. What is their position? What do they have to do?
Well, I think, I mean, the background of it is really that aviation fuel has risen dramatically. It's nearly doubled since February. And as a result of that, most airlines are increasing their prices or reducing the number of flights they're offering. But as you say, it's not, at the moment, it's not like a major hands-on problem for the industry, because most, about all airlines, hedge their fuel purchases so that they're locked in for particular pricing for a period of time. And also, Europe hasn't currently run out of jet fuel. It does refine quite a lot itself, and it's sort of estimated there's probably 3 or 4 weeks worth of stock to go before that runs out. So I think you're going to find that the prices, if this thing isn't sorted out, in the next month or so, I think you'll start seeing some serious movements in relation to pricing.
And what happens if I've already bought my ticket, and actually I have already bought a ticket, can they then say, actually, we're putting another 100 quid on it because of the cost of fuel, or can they just cancel it because it's not cost effective? Where would I stand if I've already booked?
Yeah, so if you've already booked, you're generally locked into a binding contract, and airlines aren't really permitted, or they're not permitted, to retrospectively sort of increase the fare or add additional fuel surcharges. So if you've bought the flight, you're kind of, the airline's locked into it. However, there's a couple of things going on in the market which are probably worth keeping an eye on. Some airlines, and this is happening quite a lot in the US at the minute, are adding on extra increases to things that you would buy after you purchase the ticket. So it's quite common, for example, to add additional baggage onto your flight just before you fly out, or you pay to get a particular seat selection. So both of those things have gone up. And in fact, I was looking around yesterday and I found one US airline that, if you've got two cases and you book a third case, they want $200 surcharge to add that third case in. So some of the pricing being branded around is quite crazy. So that's something to watch out for, those sort of hidden extras or add-ons that you buy after you've bought the ticket, but before you travel. And then the other thing that you mentioned really was cancelling flights. So yeah, airlines are cancelling flights to consolidate passenger numbers to try and get more people on one plane, I guess. But if you are flying in and out of the UK on any airline at all, then you're protected under the deny boarding regulations. And what they say around this issue is that if an airline decides to cancel a flight, then they have to give you the option of choosing a suitable alternative. So they'll offer you an alternative flight or give you a refund. And the important point there, I think, is the choice of which one of those you take is yours, not the airline's. Because otherwise, clearly, if they just were able to give you a refund, all they would do is give you the money back, and then you'd have to book another flight, which, of course, at the moment is going to be a lot more expensive. So if you've got a ticket and you're off the cancellation, it's worth hanging on to it.
Interesting. So the alternative flight that they have to offer you, is that the same price? Is that within your ticket?
Exactly. They can't put the price of it. It has to be a suitable alternative flight. I mean, it's got to be to a similar thing or a similar route. And actually, although the legislation says it's got to be at your earliest convenience, or the earliest opportunity, generally speaking, most airlines are happy to push that date out. So clearly, there's no point in saying, I'm cancelling your flight because you're going to the Middle East. You want one the week later, because it'll also be cancelled. So I think generally the idea is to try and shift flights out. But it's worth, when an airline comes to you, it's worth just having that mindset. I don't really want to just let go of the flight unless I need to for a refund, because if you do have to travel within short shrift somewhere else, it's likely to be a lot more expensive.
Right. Okay. And would you get any sort of compensation if they said, well, you've got to go in the middle of the night, or you've got to miss 2 days of your holiday or something?
Well, if you're just buying a flight, that could be a bit of a problem. The only thing you get about compensation for if you just book an airline ticket as opposed to like a package holiday, if you book an airline ticket, then the deny boarding regulations will, if your flight's cancelled, will typically pay you compensation, which is a fixed amount between, I think it's 200 and 600 euros, depending on how long the flight is. However, airlines don't have to pay that compensation if their flight was cancelled because of extraordinary circumstances. And it's pretty likely, although they've not been tested in court at the moment, as far as I know, that the events in the Middle East are going to be extraordinary circumstances because they're beyond control. So that's a long way of saying that in relation to an airline, you probably aren't going to get compensation. If you bought a flight as part of a package holiday, then different laws apply, the package travel and linked travel regulations, and they must dictate that the provider has to give you an alternative holiday or reimburse you. And again, that's a bit more leisurely, so more like you can book it in a place or at a time that is a bit more sort of suitable and probably a bit more further away.
So from what you're saying, a lot of people are saying to me, well, I maybe was planning to go abroad, but now I'm not going to bother. It all seems a bit iffy. But equally, it sounds like if you actually jump in now and buy a ticket somewhere or even a holiday, you might be in a good position before they start shooting up in price.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got to look at the markets generally. I mean, I'm not an economist for a moment, but I mean, I think if you're generally reading of what seems to be going on in the markets, is that they've got a bit sort of Trump saturated with him every day on the television or the radio saying he's going to blow everybody up. And I think they've become a bit sort of complacent about it now. So the markets are stabilizing a bit. And if you look at like the oil prices, that seems to have sort of stabilized back to about $100 a barrel. So actually, if things don't get any worse, the prognosis is looking a bit better. I think what's happened is it's a spike, at least I hope so. And so, you know, who knows, prices can go up and down, but I think hopefully we're reaching near the peak in what's going on in the fuel market.
And what about the insurance then? Travel insurance, we talk about it so much and you think, well, this will cover us if my flights cancel or, whatever. What do they cover and what don't they cover maybe?
Okay, well, that's actually quite straightforward, is that there are two travel insurance obviously covers you for wherever you go away for a number of things, but there are normally two very clear general exclusions in a policy, meaning that general means they don't cover anything at all. So the first is virtually all policies won't cover you or will exclude a claim that results from travel to a territory where there's a war. So is there a war in the territory? But perhaps more importantly, because it's quite varied at the moment, particularly in the Middle East, is you've got these government recommendations about travelling by the Foreign Commonwealth and Development Office, or the FCDO. So every single travel policy that's published always has an exclusion in it to say that they won't cover you for any claims where you're travelling against the advice of the FCDO. And the FCDO have two key categories there. They either recommend against any travel at all, or they recommend against all but essential travel. And most travel policies will carve out or won't cover you if the territory you're going to is caught by either of those words. So the FCDO has a website, which is easy to access, and it has very detailed analysis on various territories. And it's quite mixed in the Middle East, so it's worth checking because it will be binary. It's either you will be allowed to go or you won't. Now, oddly enough, if the territory you're going to isn't completely prohibitive, in other words, advising against all travel, but does allow all but essential travel, it is worth talking to your insurer, because if you can convince them that your trip is essential, which obviously won't mean going on holiday, but if there is a commercial purpose or some other sensible reason for it, the insurer will normally cover you and they would add wording to your policy to confirm that. So either way, you should always check with your insurer whether they will cover the territory before you go. One thing to bear in mind, though, is that those rules really only catch you if you buy a policy after that territory has been condemned by the FCDO, because if you were to buy the policy and book your trip before the FCDO made the advised against travel that territory, i.e. you didn't know anything about it when you bought the policy, you would be able to claim under the cancellation provisions on the policy for the cancellation of your trip, if it's subsequently that territory was banned. So it's not all bad news.